Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I am your host, Dr. Amy. We're diving into the nervous system to understand the connection between attachment, autoimmunity, and fatigue. That connection is going to come down to one word that connects all three of those. I see so many more people with autoimmunity and fatigue and unaware of the deep connection both with trauma and with attachment. Even my somatic practitioner colleagues are telling me of the increase in clients they are getting with autoimmunity. So I wanted to share this episode with you where I teach and I'm sharing my insights so that you understand what to do for the trauma connection with autoimmunity. It is one of the conditions that is a result of a biology of trauma. So it is important to understand, and that is why this is the one question we're answering in this episode. What is this connection between attachment, autoimmunity, and fatigue? I am so excited to have Tori make a brief appearance in this episode. I will be teaching, and then Tori will share a piece of her story around her freeze response. Tori has had the POTS condition, as well as cancer and other health challenges, and she didn't even know she had a freeze response until she, took a journey into her nervous system with me. Here's what you will learn in this episode: the specific branch of the nervous system that determines our trauma response. How the freeze response can be likened to a bird landing on a branch, and the triggers for our freeze response, and how our own biology can be a reason for easily going into a freeze response. How the polyvagal theory helps us understand our response to threats, how to even recognize when you are experiencing a freeze response, and how this response may start in early life and be related to attachment. And finally, the relationship between attachment and autoimmunity and fatigue. And what we're going to start with is reviewing the nervous system and the normal stress response that we have. Many of you are already familiar with this. Now, to understand the trauma response, which will include the freeze, we have to understand the stress response. In fact, our body only goes into a trauma response after having gone into a stress response. We want to understand both of these different responses, stress and trauma, because they are different physiology in the body. They reflect a different degree of threat that we are responding to. As we bring in that word threat, we now are directed to our threat detection and response system of our body that is called the nervous system. And while we have a nervous system, there are different divisions of our nervous system that are based on anatomy and function. The nervous system just means this tissue that is made up of cells called neurons. That's the nervous system. And yet different neurons in different places do different things. So it is both a distinction of anatomy and function. We have a central nervous system. This is our brainstem, spinal cord, and its function is to think and act, like move our arms and legs when we are walking, or as you move your fingers to type on your phone and decide to play this podcast episode. That is your central nervous system's function to coordinate our movement. We have this other division of our nervous system, and its function is literally to keep us alive. Its job is to collect information and adjust our physiology to that information to keep us alive. The name for this division is the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is largely made up of sympathetic and parasympathetic, which are like control dials that determine how much of each at every given moment. Do we need a little more stress, a little more alertness, a little more energy? Well, then our autonomic nervous system turns up the sympathetic dial. Or is there a big problem that just presented itself and we need a lot more stress? Well, the dial gets turned up and the parasympathetic dial gets turned down. When faced with a perceived threat, the body does just that. It activates our stress response through the sympathetic state of our nervous system. There's another state of our autonomic nervous system that happens when it perceives not just a threat, but now that threat feels like it is too much, too big of a threat, and there is nothing that we can do. To put that all together, it would be an inescapable life threat. I refer to that as the critical line of overwhelm, where we go from stress, where it was, well, just a threat, to the freeze response and shut down. And this is when that overwhelm is in response to a threat that feels too big for us. If it's just a threat, though, as long as I think that I have a fighting chance, my body is going to respond with sympathetic stress. This response creates immediate physiological changes designed to enhance my ability to respond to the threat by taking action. My heart rate increases, muscles tense, adrenaline is surging, all to prepare me for action. I'm sure you've felt this before. This stress response or sympathetic state gives us the fight or flight reactions, and it is a high energy survival mechanism deeply ingrained within our nervous system. Now, what our body will normally do when it overcomes a threat is to return to a state of rest for recovery and to have a reset. Once it has that reset, well, it's resourced and ready to go again. And so this return to a safe state is what happens when our body, our autonomic nervous system, shifts back into a parasympathetic state. We are specifically talking about the calm and alive parasympathetic state or ventral vagal parasympathetic state. When our autonomic nervous system has us in this state, this is where we are calm, we are curious, we feel connected to ourselves, to other people. It's that, you know, what people call feeling grounded, feeling very present, and important to this conversation that we're having today, feeling secure. And as it relates to the autoimmune stuff that we'll be talking about and the fatigue stuff, it's where we feel healthy. So in every sense of the word, this is where we want to have our nervous system for our best self, for our best health. Now, what happens when we have any type of stress or a threat? Not that this ever happens to any of you. I know. This is all theory that we're talking about now. But what if you had something stressful happen? What is the response that happens in the nervous system? So when you have any kind of a stress or a threat, like the story of when my dog almost got hit, we were out on a walk, we're crossing a street. I thought this person would stop at the stoplight. He did not and ran right through it. And I and my dog are in the middle of the street as he's pulling in. Never saw us. And so my body goes into this stress response, which is very high energy, right? Like if you can imagine that situation or other situations that you have been in where something, you know, like something might happen, right? It's not that it has happened, but something might happen. There's this high energy response. And of course, you know, what did I start doing? I start yelling, right? Like, stop, you're going to hit my dog, right? Like it's a very active, high energy response that the nervous system always goes into for that response to stress. And so when we look at what happens in that stress response, it's this massive amount of energy. You can even think of it in terms of massive amount of adrenaline that is released in order to be able to respond to that. Now, when we talk about the stress response, you always hear it said fight, flight, or what is it? The freeze, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. But where in this is the freeze response? Like I have just responded very active in order to respond to a threat. So where in this is the freeze response? And the freeze response is actually part of that stress response, but it doesn't come until later. So let's look at the freeze response. But first, I want to just remind you that you've got ways to keep yourself present here. And if you're able, I want you to have some back support right now. So something where your back feels something, just something behind it, right? And there's clear science about that, especially as it relates to attachment. So you have something behind your back. You can put your hands over your belly to make sure that you're belly breathing.
in all of this, right? The freeze response, our breath goes pretty shallow. So hands on your belly just helps to remind yourself like, oh, that's right. Got to belly breathe. And you can also take notes. So in general, of course, we know that being in our brain is one of the coping mechanisms for a strong pull towards the freeze response. But in this moment, in this class, that might be a coping mechanism that you want to use in order to help yourself stay out of the freeze. I've even got my acupressure mat here. So especially when I'm talking about the freeze, I always have this with me. And if I feel myself starting to just kind of space out, obviously that's unusual for me if I'm the one talking and teaching, but I have this here in order to really help ground me and keep myself in my body. Now, what I want you to do is on your piece of paper, as we go through this, I want you to just put a mark down at the top of your paper when you notice your mind, yourself coming back to the talk. Notice I didn't say when you notice yourself leave the talk. You never really notice when you go, right? It's always the coming back. You're like, oh, my mind drifted. So when you notice your mind coming back, I want you to just put a notch, put a little mark on your piece of paper so you can just keep track of how often that happens during this talk. All right. So let's actually just start going into the freeze response. So with the freeze response, there is a clear trigger for the freeze response. And that trigger is anything that is too much. So anything that is too much and our system goes into freeze response. Any system, right? So this would be examples of something that feels too much, where you're there, you're functioning, you're still getting through, but something is too much. That something feels like the energy drained out of me. That is another great way to explain what the freeze response can feel like. It's not that you have a lot of energy like you had in that initial response to a threat. It's where the energy completely is drained. You can feel a knot in your stomach. You can feel like you just want to hide. You can feel like you've got to put on the fake smile because you just went into a very shame place and your mind probably isn't even there anymore. You're not hearing what other people are saying. You've disconnected in order to handle this flood of shame and emotions around your system. So the way that you can also kind of look at the freeze response is a branch of a tree. And the freeze response would be a branch breaking. And what would it take for the branch to break? There would be two things, right? What are two things that might make the branch break? So we've got some pressure, too much weight. So you're getting the idea that if you put something on top of that branch that is too much, it's going to break. Not enough flexibility of the branch. So this is where we look at the actual how that branch is made and how strong it is. And those are the two factors that we look at for ourselves and how much stress we have the capacity to hold and not break. Just going to pause right there. So there are biological factors that we'll go into a little bit that make a branch or our nervous system less able to handle stress. So there's that aspect. And then there's the aspect of how much weight is actually on that branch. So we look at how much stress there has been on our system and how early that stress would have started. So let me share with you what happens exactly when our system goes into the freeze response, because it's not probably what you think. So what happens is that we have this dive. I call it the dive down into the freeze response. This is the polyvagal theory. Some of you might be familiar with that, right? Where you've gone from now sympathetic and a threat, or at least a possible threat, or something that your brain tells you might be a threat, and it becomes too much and you go down into the overwhelm. And there are characteristic thoughts, behaviors, and diseases that are a result of frequently going into the freeze response. Exhausted. This is what a lot of people describe. It's not just that I'm tired. It's that I feel so heavy. It feels, you know, like I've got muscles. That's not the problem. The problem is that my muscle, it feels like it is so hard to move my muscle, my arm, just because of how heavy it feels. So this also then comes with depression or sadness, a feeling of I give up, right? If your branch snaps, it's giving up. I can't take it. I'm going to snap and I'm not even going to try anymore to hold this weight up. I'm giving in. So that's one of the thoughts that can be similar to that is like, what's the point? I give up, and your body literally goes into a conservation of energy. Very different than the sympathetic, where if I'm yelling at the car, right? Like, stop, you're going to hit my dog. That is not conserving energy. I'm using lots of energy in order to address the threat that is in front of me. It's when that threat becomes too much. And that's either a result of it having come too fast at me, that my body didn't have time to process what was happening, or we've had too little resources for too long that we have this lower inner capacity to handle stress because it's just been going on for so long that it's just, you know, like that one thing that ends up snapping us. So let's look at the root causes of a strong pull to the freeze response. Chronic stress and overwhelm. And that's how it will feel. And that's one of the root causes of the strong pull to the freeze response. And again, part of this talk that we'll look at is how far back did that chronic stress and overwhelm go? Because for many people, they have early attachment relationships that for that period of time in their life, when they were an infant or a young child, it was stressful. It was overwhelming to their system. And it started this pattern of going to the freeze response in order to survive, cope, and get through. But certainly big traumatic events, big T events can be a reason as well for a strong pull to the freeze afterwards. But then you look at all the biological things, right? You've got the biochemical imbalances. I talk a lot about those. You have mitochondrial inefficiencies, which just means that your cells, even especially your nerve cells, have a harder time making energy. And so if you have lower amounts of energy, your body is already going to be prioritizing how it uses that energy. And if a stress comes your way, your body is going to be like, you know, I don't have enough energy for that. So I'm just going to go into this. I don't care. I don't care because I don't have the energy to care. And inflammation, of course, is going to be a reason for your body reaching that point of overwhelm faster. And then there's a long list of other biological factors as well that we don't have time to go into today, but know that these biological factors affect the strength, the capacity of that branch to handle stress. So let us kind of pause there. Does anybody have any marks on their paper yet that they've noticed that they spaced out for a second and noticed themselves coming back? This is very normal, right? It's not where we want to be. We can get our systems to a much healthier place, but this is very normal for many people. So let's do a little bit of exercise around the freeze. Are we good with that? If you are not, don't do it, right? Don't do it. But if you are, then let's do a little experiential stuff on the freeze response and what it might feel like. So you may not want to do this exercise if you're already noticing that's happening a lot. But for those who are curious about it, When you think about something being too much for you, we use that word too much for the freeze response. When you think of just too much, what is the posture that you would put yourself into if you were doing some acting and trying to communicate to me without words that you felt like something was too much? What posture would you do? And go ahead and do that posture. So the posture of too much is really like that feeling like a weight is on your shoulders, right? That it's just, it's wearing you down. You're doing it great. Like your head is down, right? Like you're even resting your head in your hands. This is exactly what it would feel like if something became too much. And as you go into this posture, I just want you to do a little reflection right now. Does this feel familiar to you? For me, it totally did. So when we do this exercise, this is something that we can look at. Does this feel familiar? And know, hey, do I have a freeze response? So this is something that we can now be aware of when you are in this posture. Be like, ooh, do I want to be in this posture? Because for those of you who are willing, I want you to go back into this posture and just hang out here for a second. And I want you to notice the thoughts that come right now while you are in this posture. You can feel, Janet feels her brain slouching. Yeah, we're noticing the direct effect on your breathing, Rochelle. Exactly. I want to go to sleep. That is the freeze response. I want to avoid. Let me just turn it all off. And there can be this panic associated with it, which is really a good point because the panic is what sends us into the freeze calling. So we reach a point of panic, and that panic is directly related to how overwhelmed we are. If we weren't overwhelmed, we wouldn't feel the panic. And so it's that panic that then gets us to the overwhelm, and our body is like, ooh, way too much, right? And even like that, right? Like I'm starting to push stuff away. Right? The push away. So the desire to go numb is in all substance abuse. What we usually think of as the freeze response is this desire to be numbed and not feel the intensity of the panic, not feel the intensity of the overwhelm. Because what happens if we, what happens, right? Like our mind starts going, our body starts going down this path and we get so overwhelmed, we feel that panic and it's like, whoop, too much, we're going to shut that down. But just as much of the freeze response are those coping mechanisms that try to keep us out of that freeze response. Because it's a very uncomfortable place, right? Like for those of you who went into that posture, is it comfortable? No, right? It is not comfortable to feel discouraged, to feel overwhelmed. It feels very uncomfortable. So what can happen is that we develop these coping mechanisms, whether it be caffeine or chocolate or exercise or busyness or multitasking. I'm trying to think of all the ones that I have used before, right? These are all coping mechanisms that we instinctively start to do in order to keep ourselves as functional as possible and out of that freeze response. And yet, if we were to take away that coping mechanism, that freeze response is right there and it shows up so uncomfortable. And so then we usually go back to one of our coping mechanisms. So let's just sit back again. If you need to do some pushaways, do some pushaways. Because this is a lot, like this is something that's like, maybe you've never seen it to this degree before. And many of you are going to come to the conclusion, the correct conclusion, that for much of your life or much of the last year, you've been living in a chronic freeze state. And as much as that, you know, it feels safe, it also keeps you small and hidden. And as we will talk about later on, it will also be causing a lot of the imbalances in your biology, your immune system, your digestive system, not to mention your nervous system, that you're not going to notice those until much later. But if you could kind of change that and shift that now to stop that progression to an immune imbalance, an autoimmune, or even a diagnosis of chronic pain, chronic fatigue, any of those along that spectrum, the fibromyalgia, all of that is part of the consequence of the freeze response. All right. I'm going to stop there for a second, just so that I'm not throwing too much at you too fast, right? Because too much too fast is the trigger for the freeze. And I'm not going to do that to you. So let's talk about attachment. How many of you know about attachment? Anything about attachment? So why would attachment insecurities be related to the freeze response? So let me explain it and show you a picture here that will help explain that. So when an infant is born, they actually do not have a developed nervous system and a fully developed capacity to keep their own nervous system calm. They actually require someone else to do that for them. So what happens is that they will get really upset very quickly and need someone to what we call co-regulate in order to bring their nervous system back down into that parasympathetic where they're happy, they're, you know, playing with their feet, they're sticking their toes in their mouth, you know, they're doing the normal baby things that they do when they're feeling connected, when they're feeling loved, when they're feeling that all their needs are being taken care of. So what happens is that there are a couple things. One would be that the environment in which they came into the world was one in which they did not have someone who could do that level of support for their nervous system that was enough for what they needed. And every baby, based on their genetics, based on their in utero experience, is going to require a different level of regulation of their nervous system. They may already have some of these biological factors that make them more sensitive, more reactive. So every child has a different amount that they need. And for some, they may be born into an environment where it's not enough for them. And there's a couple different scenarios that I can easily share with you that would make that happen. And one would be even just a baby needing to go to the NICU when they were born. That disrupts the normal bonding, attachment, and regulation that they need when they are first born, because all of a sudden they're taken away from the only voice that they know. They're taken away from this super warm, floaty, secure, safe environment. All of a sudden they're exposed to cold, to, you know, this very harsh world compared to inside tummy. And then they're slapped on the butt. They've got injections going in. Who knows what else is happening? And if, unfortunately, they are one of those babies that needs to go to the NICU for life-saving measures, that can actually be quite a trauma to their system when you understand the nervous system and how they need that co-regulation. They need that touch. They need that for feeling secure. So that would be one scenario. Another scenario would be if they are, you know, in a family dynamic where mom is busy, dad is busy, and it's not that they don't love their child, it's just that they're busy and they may not know that their child needs additional regulation, additional touch, additional support, or they may have been told about certain parenting practices that actually are harmful to their nervous system in terms of making them be by themselves at a time when they're not by themselves. And nothing that I say here is meant to bring any judgment. It's just bringing awareness, because we all do this without even knowing what we're doing, right? It's very unintentional. When you talk to parents, of course they love their child. They would never do anything that was intentionally harmful. And yet it's just lack of knowledge that we do this. So even with the baby carriers And when the baby is carried facing out to the world at a time when their nervous system is not yet built with the capacity to handle the world, and they're out on a walk and they see cars, you know, like whizzing by them, or there's dogs and there's dogs barking, for a young child's nervous system, it's just not developed enough to be able to handle that stimulation without being able to have, you know, that sense of protection and being able to turn in towards their parent and get that co-regulation. So there's so many different things that would otherwise be considered normal, innocent, but that actually are very harmful to the nervous system. And so we have this pandemic of children growing up now with insecure attachments, though I would say that most of us also have some degree of insecure attachment. I think that 10 years ago, the rate was around 80% of the general public in the United States had an insecure attachment. That's gone up by now, but this is becoming our normal. So it's not like it's something bad, there's something wrong with you. This has kind of become our normal to have these attachment insecurities that really, when we look back at the baby, that would have been trauma to their nervous system, because it leaves these lasting effects of unable to handle the stimulation. And what happens is that they get overwhelmed so quickly that they go right into the freeze response. And so this is how the attachment then creates this strong pull towards the freeze even later in life, because if starting as a young child, as an infant, someone is going into that freeze response probably on a daily basis, if not a few times a day, right? They're paving a highway. And we know that, you know, the neurons that fire together wire together, which means that the more time that they're going down that path of freeze response, the stronger of a default that becomes, to the point where now as adults, and I'll speak, you know, for myself, as an adult, it would not take much at all for me to go right into the freeze response. Like, I hardly had a true sympathetic response. I would go right into the freeze response where I would feel that energy drain. I'd feel the knot in my stomach and go into a place of shame. And I just want to hide and let me just get through the rest of my day until I can go back. And I can hide. I can hide in my house. I can hide in my living room. I can hide behind, you know, my computer and zone out with a movie or, you know, whatever it is, in order to just allow my body to kind of recoup and get back in the energy that it needs to feel alive again. So this is how attachment is strongly, strongly connected to the freeze response. And most people who come through the programs, most people who do the 21-day journey, that was one of the big ahas for you going through that program and that course, was I had no idea that I had such a strong freeze response. I had no idea how often I was actually going into the freeze response. I thought that was just me. I thought that was just my personality. And it's not, right? Like, it's actually not. And it's something that we can rewire and we can change. Which reminds me, one of the things that we're going to go over is how you can't shift this with just changing your thinking, trying to change your thoughts and telling yourself, well, I'm safe here. You actually have to create a felt experience for your body. We can do with fairly simple exercises for the body. You said that you noticed yourself going into the freeze response. What did that feel like for you? How did you know you were going into the freeze response?
I have a lot of brain fog with my health conditions, but it would get just really severe. So I was just having disorientation, and I was really frightened about what that meant for my future. Was I like heading towards dementia or things like that? So I've been amazed at the improvements in my brain fog. And then also I was spending a lot of time in bed before. And now I'm able to sit up at my desk for most of the day during the day. So that's been a huge change for me. So I had both the physical like heaviness and also the brain fog. And it was just like you said that I couldn't change that with thoughts. I had to stop therapy even because it was just, I would try and it was upsetting me even more. I wasn't making any progress versus when we focus on my body. I can't believe how much progress I've made over the last like 6 months.
Now that we've talked about attachment, let's talk about the autoimmune and the fatigue as it relates to the freeze response. Because what happens is that the body has this response that is a normal, natural consequence, or I should say downstream effect of the freeze response. What that means is that when the nervous system has this imbalance in it, and one of the words that I hope that you'll start to just use more and think about is regulation. And regulation refers to being able to stay in this middle parasympathetic state where you are calm, you alive, you're curious, you're connected. That is regulated. You're grounded, you're healthy, you're feeling secure. And so anything outside of that is going to be dysregulated unless it's a normal threat response where you go into the sympathetic and then you are able to come back into the parasympathetic and not have it stay causing dysregulation in your nervous system, because that's where it will lead to the autoimmune and the chronic fatigue. And it's really interesting because these are only two of many conditions that are strongly associated with the adverse childhood experiences study. It's interesting to see that these types of conditions are associated with the early childhood stuff because of this strong freeze response that develops early in childhood and causes these chronic effects on the rest of the body, on the rest of the biology. So I call this the biology of trauma and how you can actually see based on the health conditions that you have that, hey, whether I like it or not, whether I understand it or not, I have these patterns. And that's actually how I found my patterns. I had no idea that I had attachment insecurities. I had no idea that I had stored trauma. There was nothing unique about my story that I thought that I would have stored trauma. But when I got diagnosed with autoimmune condition, my autoimmune markers were very high without really a clear reason. I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue and was having a ton of digestive issues. I looked at that and be like, oh my goodness, like here I am with all of these conditions that are associated with this. Why is that? And that's really where I dove deeper into this work. So with the autoimmune, what happens is that the freeze response is all about shame and feeling like I don't belong. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. And so it's very much focused on kind of like inward and attacking oneself. And that's exactly what the autoimmune conditions are. They are your body making antibodies against your own tissues, as opposed to making antibodies against a foreign threat, like a bacteria, like a virus. Those are normal, healthy, natural things that our body makes antibodies to fight. But now it's saying, no, 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 you are the problem. And I need to destroy what is the problem in you. And so our cells actually start turning against ourselves, which is really unique when you look at that and how what is happening on an emotional level, what we experience as an emotion or a thought is actually the same thing that's happening on a cellular level where our body has been overwhelmed and goes into you must be the problem. And so again, you must be the problem. And so the answer is stay small, stay hidden, don't let anybody see that side of you. And that's then the same biology that over a few decades usually turns into an autoimmune condition. With the fatigue, this is exactly what happens too, because when we are in overwhelm and kind of chronic overwhelm, many of us go back and forth between overwhelm and I'm just done with it all to I'm super stressed and I am trying to get everything done and then I'm going to collapse again into the fatigue and the overwhelm. And then that fatigue just starts to build and build because our body literally starts to deplete the nutrients that it has, and it can't bounce back into even the high energy. Or when we try to do the relaxation, we usually just kind of slip right back into the fatigue and what can feel like the freeze response. So that doesn't feel good. So we always have to keep ourselves activated in some way. And the fatigue just builds and builds the more that our body, our nervous system goes into that freeze response. So this is how it's all connected. The freeze response, attachment, autoimmune, and fatigue. So one of the things that I'd love for you to be able to think about is, how do we get your cells, your nervous system, back to a place of trust and security? And one of the most meaningful things for me in my lifetime, for sure, has been working with other families who have adopted children and being able to rewire those patterns, those insecurities, their nervous system of those kids to become one where they fully trust and they feel fully secure with their adoptive parents. Or if they were a child who went through the NICU and have insecure attachments because of that, or for whatever reason, right? There's so many reasons these days for insecure attachments, but actually being able to rewire this. And how do we rewire this? And if we don't, what would be the cost, right? Like, you don't have to rewire your nervous system. We don't have to do anything. You could leave your system where it's at. You've gotten, you know, through life okay so far. That's been a struggle for some more than others. We have felt like we're trudging up a mountain, we're carrying a huge backpack. We could continue that. And what would be the cost of continuing that? What would be the cost of not working to rewire our system? Costing relationships, shutting down, living in despair, feeling drained, biologically depleted, no joy. When you're in the freeze response, it is true that the panic is lessened, right? We do get that. There's a benefit to the freeze response. We go into that a lot more in the 21-day journey and the parts work course, of course, but there is a benefit to the freeze response. And that is, it does numb us a bit, but then it also takes away our ability to feel joy and happiness because it's also numbed. It takes that consistency where we're actually looking at the patterns in our nervous system. We're actually working directly with our nervous system, because as you either know already or will find out, using our brain, our logic, our thoughts to change our felt experience and our nervous system do not work. There's so much that comes up from the body, and the brain is, unless we are in parasympathetic and connected and grounded, we're not actually able to use our brain and thoughts to change our patterns. We have to work directly with our nervous system. So we work with the survival responses, the brain and body. We build that window of tolerance and your ability to have more capacity to hold stress, kind of like what Tori was talking about with her experience there. Supporting the body to process the unresolved traumas that have been stored there. Many of which, again, you're probably unaware, but at least after today's experience and certainly probably after other experiences, you know that there's stuff there. There is stuff there. One of the key principles as it relates to the nervous system and rewiring the nervous system is that it really requires this consistent, gentle pressure. By applying this consistent, gentle pressure, what happens is that if it's inconsistent, right, and you do it one day and then you go maybe see a therapist and you do it a week later and then a week later, you'll get some shifts in your nervous system, but nothing like what you're able to do if you do a little bit every single day and start to rewire your nervous system and kind of redirect it to be like, oh, we've got other choices now. We don't have to go down that path of freeze response anymore. And actually, I don't even have to respond to that as a threat right now. I have tools that are very short, very effective in order to redirect my nervous system where I want it to go and be able to stay in my window of tolerance as I build that window of tolerance, build my capacity to handle stress and not lose it and not shut down and go into overwhelm either.
I like to say to those going through my courses, we don't do overwhelm anymore. We don't do unmanageable and we don't do overwhelm anymore. We have gone over quite a lot in this episode. Let me summarize what we covered. We started with a review of the autonomic nervous system and its different states, stress, parasympathetic, and then this freeze and shutdown state. We reviewed details of the freeze response, what it is, what does it look like, what does it feel like, how would you know when you are in or have had a freeze response. And we covered how attachment, autoimmunity, and fatigue are connected through this relationship with the freeze response. And finally, we covered what to do about it if you recognize that this is resonating with you. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. As always, I have links for you in the show notes, resources that will set you up with more knowledge and tools, tools for understanding and working with your own freeze response. Or if you're a professional, practitioner, or parent, you may be working to help someone else with their freeze response. Some resources will be just for your information, while others are practical resources if you are ready to take action and make an investment. Resources will include the Essential Sequence Guide. This is where you can get a handle on the physiology of this trauma response and the difference between the stress physiology and the trauma physiology, like I shared in this episode. There are other podcast episodes on the freeze response, and I'm thinking of the ones with Irene Lyon, Dr. Peter Levine. Actually, that was the very first podcast episode I released, and he is the founder of Trauma Therapy Somatic Experiencing, and that was where I learned my own freeze response and how to work with it. In fact, that interview with Dr. Peter Levine, podcast episode 1 of the Biology of Trauma podcast, that one has a powerful story in that episode of using these tools for Melanie to stay out of her freeze response during breast cancer treatments. Speaking of real stuff, real life stuff, there is a video I posted on YouTube years ago that has gotten quite a bit of attention, and I recorded it when I was actually in the middle of a freeze response. And my intention was that I could really better express what it feels like so that others can help recognize when they are in a freeze response. I will have the links to that video for you to see which specific elements you recognize so you can become the expert in your own nervous system and freeze response. Lastly, we need to help ourselves come out of a chronic freeze response, and they need both safety and energy to do that. I have a cellular energy power supplement that I use, and this is what I use to help my cells, my mitochondria, have the energy to help come out of a chronic freeze response. Finally, I want to challenge you to review and use these resources. If it's not something you normally do, well, then take a moment and go to the show notes. Take the next step in your understanding and investment in your healing journey. Check out the webpage. This is the show notes. And click on one of the resources and links to be well-educated, resourced, and empowered. And while you are there, drop me a comment or a question about this episode. There is a place to do that. Remember, healing begins with us, and there is so much more to life that is possible for each of us as we learn to recognize and work with stored trauma and our own freeze response. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and until next episode, lots of love.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe. We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey, and you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars, share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.